You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Hey, if you're joining us for the first time, my name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. I just want to say a special welcome to all of our first-time guests. It's so good to have you with us this morning. As today we continue the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called New Normal. And here's the idea of the series. As we're all longing for our lives to get back to some semblance of normal and kind of wondering what the new normal is going to look like, what if there are some things in our lives that don't need to go back to what they used to be like before? Come on, what if God is willing to move us into a whole new normal? Now, speaking of that, today, I want to talk to you about generosity. I want to talk to you about living generous lives. I want to talk to you about how we steward our finances, how we steward our gifts and the resources that God has given to us. Because let me tell you this, church, during this pandemic season, you're either getting more generous or less generous. You're either getting more dependent on God or less dependent on God. You're either more convinced that everything you have is a gift from God, or you're more convinced that everything you have is from you and for you. So let me ask you this question this morning. Let me ask this question. How many of you want to be blessed? Come on. How many of you want to be more blessed? Just type it in the comments. I don't know about you. I want to be more blessed. I want the blessing of God on my life. And so let me ask you this question. What does that look like for you? What does being blessed look like for you to live with the blessing of God? Is that having a bigger house? Is it driving a fancier car? Is it taking more beach vacations? Can I get an amen, somebody? If you're single, is it having an Instagram model worthy boyfriend or girlfriend? Hallelujah, single people. Can I get an amen? What is it for you? What does it look like to live with blessing? I think what's really normal in our culture is for us to think about blessing in terms of what we can end up with, in the terms of us ending up with more money, more resources, more things. I think that's really normal. But in God's economy, in God's way of thinking, blessing is so much bigger than that. His blessing is so much bigger and better than what you can just end up with. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Because it's not so much about whether or not God can bless you. The question is, are you the kind of person that God can trust with his blessing? Are you that kind of person that he can trust? When I think about this, I think about my kids. You know, as my kids become more responsible, my three boys, they get more privileges. For example, my oldest, Aaron, he's got more responsibilities, more chores than his younger brothers, but he also has more privileges. And I think God wants to put us to the test to see if we're the kind of people he can trust with his blessing. And so today, I want to talk to you about three tests that we need to pass. I want to invite you to take some notes today. Three tests that God wants to give us in this area to help shift us into a new normal when it comes to how we handle the resources that he's given to us, when it comes to being generous people, when it comes to living with the blessing of God. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Number one, the first test is the test of need. The test of need. What does that mean? Well, God wants to know if you'll trust him to care for you and to meet all of your needs. Not all of your wants, not everything on your Amazon wish list, but your needs. Will you trust him with your needs? It's the test of need. Now, I know most of us, if you're a Christian, if you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus Christ, most of us would say, well, yeah, pastor, I trust in God. If I were to ask you today, how many of you trust in God? I think most of us would say amen to that. We sing songs about trusting God. We amen sermons about trusting God. But I think we actually really naturally drift toward two things: being fearful and being forgetful. I think without even realizing it, we usually end up in one of those two places. Let's talk about being fearful. Come on, how many of you can admit that you find yourself being a little bit naturally worried about finances at times? Come on, when you have an unexpected bill, when you have a crisis financial need, when your income gets cut back, how many of you find yourself worrying just a little bit about finances, losing a little bit of sleep, having a little bit of lack of peace? I think we've all been there before. A few months ago, when the COVID pandemic first hit, I know a lot of you were feeling that as you were watching your, you know, retirement accounts draining and looking at what was happening to the global economy. There was this sense of fear like, oh my gosh, the world is coming to an end. We're all going to starve to death and die. Some of you felt that. And Jesus speaks to this very thing of fear in the Sermon on the Mount. Look at this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. Here's what Jesus said. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I love this picture. Jesus is like, look at the birds, right? Like, can you imagine the birds being freaked out and worrying about their provision? Like, where are we going to find a worm today? Oh my gosh, are we going to be able to save up enough seeds for retirement? Now, we laugh at that, right? But we can worry. And here's what Jesus says. How many of you have ever added anything to your life by worrying? I don't know about you, but worrying has never made my life better. Has worrying ever made your life better? I have wasted some time worrying. I have wasted seasons of life worrying about things, worrying about finances when I could have been praying more. I could have been doing some creative thinking. I could have been working harder. And yet, I found myself worrying. And so what's the solution? The solution is to know that God is your heavenly Father, that he sees you and he sees your need. Come on, if he can feed the birds and the squirrels, how much more valuable are you than they? So the solution is to know that God sees you. God sees you. So we can be fearful. On the other hand, we can become forgetful. See, when we have enough money in the bank, when we have enough prosperity, it's easy to forget God. It's really easy to be mindful of God when you're in trouble financially. You're crying out to him. But what happens is we can actually become forgetful. In fact, God warned the children of Israel about this in the book of Deuteronomy when God was about to lead the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt and wandering in the desert into the promised land. He gave them a warning to not forget all that he had done for them. Look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Then skip to verse 17. He says this, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. See, God knew that the people were perfectly capable of forgetting how he had provided for them, how he had worked amazing miracles, how he had sent the plagues on Pharaoh and Egypt that allowed them to be delivered, how they had crossed the Red Sea on dry land, how God had provided manna in the wilderness to feed the children of Israel, like literally bread from heaven. And he knew that they were perfectly capable of forgetting all of those things and getting prideful and thinking that they had made a way for themselves in the promised land. And I think we can be the same way, church. If we're not careful, we can kind of drift and become forgetful of all that God has given us. We can kind of look over our resume and our accomplishments and our corporate success and start really feeling good. Like, I worked for all this. I accomplished all of this, and forget about 1,000 different blessings that God is the one who allowed you to get that education. God is the one who opened that door for you to have that job in the first place. God is the one who gave you that connection and that talent and that ability. So don't become forgetful of the one who got you there. We're not as self-made as we think we are. And so how do we learn to trust God, whether in good times or bad? Isn't that what we want? We want to learn to be dependent on God in the good times and the bad. And let me just give you a simple answer. Here's the key. It's to practice gratitude daily. Practice gratitude daily. Thank God on a daily basis. Gratitude is a powerful thing. See, if you're in a season of lack or if you're in a season where there's a financial need, what'll happen is as you practice gratitude, it'll get your eyes off of what you don't have and get you focused on all the blessings that God has given you. If you're in a time of abundance, it'll cause you to remember that God is the one who gave you those gifts in the first place. In fact, Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. You know, most of you, you're not wondering where your next meal is coming from today. You know what happens if you pray for God to give you your daily bread, even though you know where your daily bread is coming from? It reminds you that ultimately God is the giver of the bread. It teaches you to be dependent. So gratitude is a powerful, powerful thing. And so here's the question. Do you believe it's all on you, or can you pass this test of need and learn to truly be dependent and to trust in God as your heavenly Father, that He is your provider? Here's the second one, okay? The first test is the test of need. The second test is the test of greed. The test of greed. So what is that? Here's the question. Can God trust you? Can He trust you to use the abundance He's given you wisely? Once you've moved out of need and into abundance, can God trust you to steward the abundance He's given you wisely? If He blesses you with more, and we all want more, amen. If He blesses you with more, here's the question. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? It's the test of greed. See, here's what God knows. For most of us, money will be the number one competitor for our hearts. In fact, Jesus said this, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, God doesn't really want your treasure. God doesn't really need your money. Newsflash, He's God. He owns everything. But what God wants is your heart. He knows that the way you use the resources He's given you, it shows the priorities of your heart. He's after your heart. And Jesus knew that money and possessions and things would be the number one distraction, the number one competitor for the allegiance of our hearts, because money is like a false idol. It promises things to us that only God can give us. Money will promise you things like security and freedom and significance. And those are things that ultimately only God can give you. And this is why Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Notice Jesus didn't say you cannot serve both God and Satan, or you cannot serve both good and evil. No, no, no. He says you cannot serve God and money, because Jesus knew that the everyday, most basic, common distraction in our hearts would be to serve money, to drift from Him and to drift toward our own selfishness. And let me just tell you this. There are plenty of people all around us, rich and poor, who are serving money. They don't even know it. Some people don't even consider themselves to be religious, and they have no idea that their God is actually money. It runs their lives. And see, there are some people that they're poor. You'd say, well, how is money an idol for them? They don't have any. Well, some poor people, all they think about is how they could get money, and they envy the rich, and how could I get there? And it consumes them. There are some rich people that you would look at their life and you would think they would be blessed and content, and yet they always want something more. And so money consumes their mind, it consumes their decisions, and they're running around in this rat race serving money, and there's never enough. And so I think most of us, many of us, even as Christians, we pray for more. God, I want more blessing. Come on, I want more blessing. And God, I need provision. And maybe you've prayed, God, give me a better job, or God, give me a promotion, or God, help me to get that raise. And I think there are times when God says, okay, I'll do that for you. I hear your prayer. I'm going to do that for you. And let me see what you do with it. Now, come on. What happens if God blesses you and He gives you that increase, but all you do is spend more money than you have, rack up more debt, you don't use your finances wisely, you make really poor decisions, really frivolous decisions, and you don't become more generous? Do you think God is going to be able to trust you with even more next time you come back to Him? Do you think you're going to pass the test? Come on, you need to be honest with yourself. Based on how you're handling your finances right now, based on how you're handling the resources that God has given you right now, do you think God can entrust you with more? It's the test of greed. There's the test of need, and there's the test of greed. And then there's a third test. It's the test of seed. See what I did there? They rhyme. The test of seed. The test of seed. There's a higher level beyond just need and greed. Those are the kind of the elementary principles, but God has something more for us when it comes to how we steward the finances He gives to us, how we steward the resources, the gifts, the things He gives to us, even our talents and our energy. There's a higher principle here, and that is to understand that what God has given to you is seed. It's like seed. Now, I want to show you a really powerful scripture that really, really reflects this principle. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me just tell you what's going on here. In 2 Corinthians, the Corinthian Christians, they are about to take up a special offering for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. The believers, the church in Jerusalem was not well off. They were struggling. And so Paul was taking up this collection from the much more wealthier Christians who lived in Corinth. And so Paul, as he's writing this epistle, this letter to the Corinthians, he takes this opportunity to teach them a lesson, to teach them some principles about giving and generosity. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 10 through 11, here's what he writes. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, that's God, he's the one who supplies. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So not only is he the one who gives you seed to sow, but he also gives you bread for food. He's your provider. Look at verse 11. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. In other words, through us, as we bring this gift on your behalf to these struggling Christians, they're going to give thanks to God because of what you've done. So this is a picture of the seed test. This is a picture of the seed principle. What happens when God entrusts us with seed? How he's able to bless us with more if we're good stewards of that seed. Now, I want you to imagine a farmer who has a bag of seed. I've got a bag of seed here this morning, okay? Now, this is just grass seed from my house. We've been planting some grass around the house. I got my backyard's like a dust bowl right now. And so we've been putting down some grass the last couple summers. But I want you to picture a farmer who has a sack of seed, of grain. Now, I know we're modern day people, you know, we're suburban, we're city people, so we're not as attuned to agriculture, but Jesus's audience and Paul's audience, this was like a way of life. Imagine that this farmer, he's got a couple options. Option one is he can take this seed and he can grind it and make it into flour and bake bread, so he can eat it all up. He can do that, that's one of his options. Or what he can do is he can take a portion of it and use it to make bread to meet his own needs to sustain himself, and he can take the rest of it and actually sow some of it so that it grows and there's a harvest and there's even more grain. I don't know about you. I've never been a farmer before, but I'm going with option number two. I want to have some so I can have some bread to eat, but I want to use some to invest back. I want to plant some of it as seed so that I can reap a harvest and have even more grain. And so here's the idea. What God has entrusted to you, your finances, your resources, your connections, the things, the possessions that God has given to you, they are like seed. If you can begin to get this, it'll change your mindset. You'll have a breakthrough. The things that God has given to you, they are like seed. And what you have has the potential to multiply when you give it back to him. That's what Paul is saying. You got to recognize the potential in what God has given to you. If you give it back to him, if you use it for his purposes, if you sow it, if you steward it well, God is able to bless you. Look at verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity, it'll actually bless others and bring thanksgiving to God. Come on, how many of you would like for God to use you to the level that other people are actually praising God because of the blessing that you are? Verse 11 is a picture of biblical blessing. We so often think about blessing being us ending up with more, a financial breakthrough, a raise, a new car, whatever. That's wonderful, but God's thinking so much bigger than us. God thinks overflow. God thinks abundance. True biblical blessing is for you to have enough to meet your own needs, but enough for you to sow and give back to others so that when your head hits the pillow at night, you can sleep well knowing that God is your provider and everything you have is from him, but you also have enough that you're blessed to overflow and bless someone else. Church, let me just tell you, that is the definition of true blessing. There are rich people who use all of their resources for themselves, and they're not really experiencing blessing. blessing. There are poor people who obsess and think all day long about having more. But the true biblical picture of blessing, it's abundance, it's overflow, it's seed and multiply. Now, let me show you a few other things here about the principle of seed and harvest. And here's the idea. God gives it to you so he can put it through you to bless someone else. This is the big picture. God didn't just give it to you to stop with you. God didn't just bless you for yourself. What God gave to you, he gave to you so that he can put it through you so that it overflows to bless someone else. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at this. Two observations about seed and harvest, okay? Number one, you reap after you sow. You reap after you sow. Now that sounds obvious, right? Like you don't have to be a farmer to know that you have to plant first before you have a crop, before you have a harvest. Like who the heck thinks that they can have a harvest before planting? Can you imagine a farmer going out in a field and standing around saying, I cannot wait for an amazing, bountiful harvest when he hasn't planted anything yet? I know we laugh at that, but we have to get this principle that you sow that you reap before you sow. Because so many Christians think this way, I'll be generous one day. If God would bless me, if God would give me that job, if God would give me that promotion, if I could seal this business deal, like one day I'm gonna be generous. And what happens is we get the principle backwards. No. You have to give first. You have to actually sow first before you reap, okay? You got to get those things in the right order. And so here's the thing. If you think one day you're going to all of a sudden end up generous, you'll never get there. Let me be honest with you. If you think just one day you're going to wake up and there's going to be some set of circumstances that's going to allow you to be generous, you're never going to get there. You have to start where you are. Like maybe you're a young professional, you know, and maybe you're going to grad school and you're paying off, you know, student loans that you already have from undergrad, or they're deferred and you're overwhelmed and you're thinking, how can I afford to be generous? You got to start somewhere. Maybe you're a single mom who just got a new job and it's like, hey, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm just holding down the fort. Like I just got this new job. You know, can I afford to be generous? You got to start somewhere. Maybe you have two incomes. You know, maybe you're married and you have the house and you have the cars, but you're thinking about, I got to save up for college and provide for these kids. You got to start somewhere. Maybe you're retired. You're on the other end. You've already done all that stuff. And you're like, now I have to live on a fixed income. I'm going to be retired. You got to start somewhere. Do you see my point? If you're waiting to one day get to this place to start being generous, you'll never be generous. The principle is that we have to be faithful with what God has given to us now. In fact, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. Whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. We give first in faith. Come on, we sow before we reap. We give first in faith. If God gave it to you first, it wouldn't require faith. But God wants us to learn to step out in faith. And so we give first. We give first in faith and we trust God for the increase. If you take out the principle of first, you take out the principle of faith. Let me give you this second observation. Second observation about seed and harvest. Number two, you reap more than you sow. Come on, in God's economy, you always reap more than you sow. God is a surprising God. Let me show you this verse in Psalm chapter 126. Verses 5 and 6, it says this, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Come on, God is a God of abundance. God is a God of blessing, of multiplication, of overflow, and you always get more than you sow when you sow God's way. I think about an apple. I was eating an apple earlier today, and inside of that apple were some seeds, and I don't know if they're the kind of seeds you can plant, but theoretically, if you plant that seed, it could grow and become an apple tree and produce a whole bunch of more apples, right? And more seeds. So essentially, you can say there's potential in every seed. Every apple seed contains inside of it a whole apple orchard. See, that is the principle of multiplication. Like God always blesses us with more than than what we sow. We always reap more. He's a God of abundance. I can tell you that I've seen this in my own life. I've seen this to be true. You know, a couple of months ago, when we were at the height of the COVID pandemic, our church was doing so much outreach and so much benevolence, and we were mailing out grocery gift cards to people like every day, and we were doing benevolence and trying to take care of single moms in our church and looking after people who were in a financial crisis. And so many of you stepped up and said, "Hey, Pastor Jeremy, I want to give to help some family in need," and we turned around and got those finances to somebody in need. And can I just tell you, church, there were so many times that I found myself just overwhelmed, like just weeping at your generosity and how God was using our church to meet the needs of people in tangible ways. It was such a beautiful experience to see the way our church was pulling together and being the church and just loving on people. And it blessed me. And during that season, God took me back. He took me back and he reminded me of the very first year when Amy and I moved to Westchester. And some of you know some of our story, but in our very first year of moving here, like, we took the greatest financial leap of faith in our lives. We had to raise our salary. Essentially, we became missionary church planters. And so for the first time in my life, I had to trust God with my finances like never before. And God took me back to some of those times when I worried about, could I even provide for my own family? Like when I was looking at our account and thinking, I don't even know how to get through this year of trying to get this church off the ground. But God gave us enough faith to trust him, to hold on and to plant the seed that he gave us, to plant the seed that has become this church. And God showed me because we were faithful to plant that seed, now it's blossomed into this beautiful church that's taking care of so many people, that's feeding so many people. Like during this time of crisis, I could have never pictured that 6 years ago. Here I was in that season of life, just worried about how I could even take care of my own family. But church, I want you to see the power of planting a seed. Fast forward 6 years later, and that seed that we planted in the ground became a church that's blossomed, and God has used it to bless others, to take care of other people's needs. And so I want you to get this in your spirit. You never know how God is going to use the seed that is your life. You never know how God is going to use like your seed, your finances, your resources, your talents, your ability, everything you have. Like, God, the house you gave me isn't just for me. God, the car you gave me isn't just for me. God, the resources and connections you gave me, they're not just for me. I want to tell you, God can use it to bless someone else like you would never believe. He's a God of multiplication. I think about how others gave to this church when we were raising funds to start Redemption. I think about other pastors and other churches and other people who sowed seed into Redemption. We were on the receiving end. They planted seed in us. And now years later, here we are as a church. We're giving away thousands of dollars every year to plant other churches. Come on, the great joy of my life isn't in receiving, it's in giving back. And now seeing our church plant churches all around the Northeast and even help plant churches even over into Sweden. And now we're sponsoring children down in Honduras and helping get the word of God into the hands of children all around the world through our sponsorship with One Hope. And we're making a difference in our community. In a couple days, we're going to go out and serve day and serve our community. Come on, you never know how God's going to use your life. You never know how your giving changes someone's life. You never know how you go out on a day like serve day and give of your time and love on somebody, how it makes a difference, how it makes an impact in them. I'm telling you, some of you have sowed seed into this church and you're not going to even know the impact you've made until one day when you get to heaven and you see how God has taken it and blessed it and multiplied it. So I want to just tell you something. God is wanting to move us into a new normal, church. Come on, God is wanting to move us into a new normal in terms of generosity, in terms of how we steward what he's entrusted to us, what he's given to us, what he's blessed us with. You know what's normal? What's normal is worry. What's normal is for us to lose sleep at night and for our minds to be absorbed over what's happening, how much we have or what we don't have. That's what everybody does. What's normal is to get caught up in materialism, to kind of believe this false notion that the more stuff we have, the happier we're going to be. What's normal is for us to get obsessed with status and to think that our significance is based on how big our house is or what kind of car we drive or whether or not our kids get to go to a private school or what kind of college they get into. That's what's normal. But God is wanting morning to say, wake up. I want to move you and shift you into a new normal. The blessing of God is bigger than what you can get. The blessing of God is so much that God wants to give it to you, to put it through you, so that you're provided for, but God uses your life to be a blessing to someone else, that you plant seed, eternal seed, into the kingdom of God that impacts lives in ways that you can't even imagine. Church, I want this for you. Church, I want you to get this. My prayer for you is that you would become the kind of person that God could entrust with his blessing. Wherever you find yourself today, whether you find yourself in a season of lack and looking for a new job, or maybe you're just a young professional starting out your career, whatever stage you are in life, maybe you've made it. Come on, maybe you're at the sweet spot. You've hit your stride in your career. Are you the kind of person that God can trust right now in the present where God finds you right now? Are you the kind of person that he can entrust with his blessing? Do you get his heart that it's really not about what you can end up with, but God wants to entrust it to you so he can get it through you to overflow from your life, bless someone else. It's passing the test of need. It's passing the test of greed, and it's passing the test of seed. And I'm praying for you that you pass the test with flying colors. Come on, church, I want to pray for you. Would you just pray with me? I believe right now the Holy Spirit is stirring some of your hearts. I believe right now there are some of you that you want to worry less. You want to let go of this fear and this anxiety of always worrying about money. I believe right now some of you, you're challenged and stirred in your heart to be more generous. Maybe some of you, you've never been a giver before, and God's saying, come on, this is your Sunday. This is your week to step out in faith, to sow some seed first, to learn the principle of trusting me first. For some of you, it's God saying, I want to expand your generosity. I want you to become a tither. I want you to give above and beyond. I want you to trust me more in this area. Come on, I want to pray for you. Father, we thank you right now for the principles of your word. God, we thank you that you are our provider. God, if you care for the birds of the air, how much more valuable are we as your children? God, I thank you that we can depend on you as a loving heavenly father. God, I pray for the person right now who's in a season of lack. Maybe they're looking for a new job. There's a financial need. God, we thank you that you will show yourself faithful. Father, I pray for the person who wants to pass the test of greed. They don't want to get caught up in chasing after things, but they want a life of significance beyond things for greater purposes. Father, give them a generous heart. And God, ultimately move us to the place that we see that everything we have is from you, that you've entrusted it to us as seed, that we sow generously into your kingdom so that you cause us to overflow in abundance. Father, bless your people, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.